Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Brad Holder told law enforcement he owned a .40 caliber firearm. They never collected it. He told them he spent every weekend in Delphi conducting pagan rituals with a group that included animal sacrifice and human bloodletting, allegedly. They recorded his interview, and then the Delphi police recorded over their only copy of said interview, permanently destroying it. When tipsters called in reporting that Holder was posting pictures on social media of young girls appearing deceased with sticks placed around or over their bodies. I've seen the pictures myself. You can too if you do a little digging on the internet. The Delphi police, who had since come up with a really exciting name for themselves called Unified Command. I know. I wonder if they got like hats or coffee mugs or something made up. If we start calling ourselves this, we feel more official. I mean, it's like, it's so juvenile and pathetic. Unified Command marked each tip cleared, nothing further or alibi confirmed. The alibi they never actually verified. Brad Holder was never charged with any crime related to these murders, and I'm not here to tell you that he did anything with the girls. I'm just laying out the facts of the case. Let you connect the dots where you'd like to connect them. So I want to be clear about what this episode is and what this episode isn't. This is not about accusing anyone. Every person I'm going to discuss is presumed innocent. What this is about is the investigative decisions, the ones made by the people whose job it was to follow every lead and who chose not to. Because you can't understand what happened to Richard Allen without first understanding the suspects who were waved through the system before anyone ever looked his way. So, understand that going forward. Allegedly, in my opinion, all that inserted on everything here. On the day Abby and Libby went missing, while search teams were still combing the woods around the Monon High Bridge Trail, the law enforcement, they learned something about Abby Williams' personal life that immediately mattered. Abby had been in a secret relationship with a boy I'll refer to as LH. She'd been talking to him, meeting up with him, keeping it from her family. On the day she was murdered, according to the defense filings, Abby invited LH to meet her on the trails. He had school and declined. When officers pulled LH from class in Longsport and searched his phone, he texted his father two words, "She's missing." His father was Brad Holder. Within the first week of the investigation, the Carroll County Sheriff already suspected the crime scene had ritualistic elements. The FBI's behavioral analysis unit was evaluating whether the sticks at the scene related to pagan rituals. And on February 17th, 2017, just 4 days after the girls vanished, Holder sits down for an interview and tells law enforcement exactly what they were already looking for. According to the defense filings, Holder admitted to being involved in a pagan tribe. He told officers he spent weekends in Delphi engaging in pagan rituals with Patrick Westfall and others, rituals that included animal sacrifice and human bloodletting. You know, like you do on the weekends. Watch the game, go do some bloodletting, sacrifice some animals. Why not? To Norse gods in the middle of Indiana. He admitted to owning a .40 caliber Smith & Wesson. A .40 caliber unspent round would later be found between the bodies of Abby and Libby at the crime scene. Again, I'm not saying they had anything to do with this. Why would I do such a thing? It doesn't exactly take a CSI investigator even really a seasoned investigator. Or, I don't know, it takes common sense. Just a little smidge of it to go, maybe we should look here a little closer, just in for all intents and purposes. Not only to see if there's smoke or there's fire here with this, what appears to be smoke, for the sake of the investigation and the girls, but also for the sake of this individual as well. Because if you're going to carry out a competent investigation, and someone like this truly has nothing to be looked at for, you want to run that out and not leave it as a infinite question mark forever. But we sit with an infinite question mark. Why? And again, I'm not saying Holder has done anything. Saying he too, to a certain extent, has been a victim of an incompetent investigation that has left the question mark sitting over here to anybody that's looking at the case. If you have nothing to do with it, then let's legitimately clear the man. And just saying cleared doesn't mean cleared if you didn't actually run down any information. Law enforcement did not collect Holder's weapon. They did not search his phone. They recorded the interview, and then the Delphi Police Department recorded over their only copy. Before August of 2017, the only record that survived was a single page of narrative summary. A suspect with a direct connection to one of the victims who admits to practicing pagan rituals involving bloodletting, who owns the same caliber firearm as the round found at the murder scene, and the police erased the tape. The gun stayed in his home, his phone stayed in his pocket, and the only written record of what he told them fits on a single page. And they say that's all there is. And maybe there is. Maybe that's all there is. But I'm saying consider the context. Again, I am not saying Brad Holder had anything to do with this. I'm saying this is an incompetent investigation from the jump. Consider the context. Officers who examined the crime scene believed it was too complex for one person. The behavioral analysis unit of the FBI noted the perpetrator treated the two victims differently, suggesting familiarity with at least one girl. The Carroll County Sheriff thought the sticks were connected to pagan rituals from the very first day. Everything about the crime scene pointed towards a group with ritualistic practices and a connection to the victims. And here was a man sitting across the interview table describing exactly that group, a pagan tribe that practiced bloodletting, spent weekends in the same woods where the girls were found, and included the father of the victim's secret boyfriend. They erased his interview tape anyway. Whoops. And said it doesn't matter. Then came the alibi. Holder told officers he was at work at Liberty Landfill when the girls went missing. Officers visited the landfill and spoke with an HR employee named Susan Case, who provided a badge swipe printout showing Holder swiped out of work at 2:45 p.m., 30 minutes after Libby's Bridge Guy video was recorded. Case invited the officers to reveal surveillance footage to confirm whether Holder was physically present during his shift, because, surprise, surprise, anyone could take a card and swipe it out if one asked. This is how it works in some places on the time clock, on the shift clock. If you're unfamiliar, familiarize yourself. It's not super scientific, and people can clock you in and clock you out. But hey, there's a camera, so we can at least confirm this, right? And of course they're going to go check the camera to make sure that no one else swiped for Brad. Because if somebody was, you know, wanting to get away with something and appear to be somewhere else and have an alibi, one might ask someone else to do a little swiping for them. You just want to make sure that that didn't occur for the sake of
holder. So this story doesn't continue to go on indefinitely. So you want to make sure, you know, cross your T's, dot your I's. Well, in Delphi with the police department, T's and I's just simply don't exist in the equation. We just don't work with T's and I's around here. We find them to be too distracting. They seem to, the crossing and the dotting. We're not a department of crossers or dotters. We're just go-getters. You know, kind of seems like how it operates, you know? So, what happened when they went and looked at the security footage? They didn't go and look at the security footage that was offered to them. No. So, of course, they must have gone and talked to, like, other employees just to, like, gauge it, right? What did they... Oh, they didn't. They did not go and talk to other employees. They did not ask whether anyone else could have used Holder's badge, even though clearly they could have. Unified Command, as the Delphi police force like to start calling themselves because of their small appendages inside of their pants, in my opinion. Mark Holder as cleared. Years later, when Allen's defense team finally deposed Case, they discovered Holder did not have exclusive custody of his employee badge on the day the girls went missing. The landfill ran continuous operations where a single person's absence would be immediately noticed, but nobody checked. The alibi that cleared Brad Holder was a badge printout the officers refused to actually verify with the video that was offered to them. Again, you know, we talk about incompetence in this case. An incompetence, again, is something where you're trying your best to do something, but your inexperience is not allowing you to get there. I don't know if that's what's going on here. I mean, it seems like something else, very much so, because when you're literally offered, hey, you know, that's what this printout shows, but we got video. Let's just check the video just to make sure. Cross the T, dot the I. Oh, wait, you guys don't use I's and T's, right? You're just go-getters. So why do that? Why make sure that the evidence actually stacks up? I guess that's the question. It's either utter incompetence or ambivalence to the case. Or somebody doesn't want somebody to figure something out and connect dots that go in a specific direction. Why is that? Where does it lead? I don't know the answer to that question. And it really feels like Delphi has a vested interest in you not knowing either, or me, or anyone, for that matter. After the initial interview, according to the defense filings, tipsters repeatedly called in identifying Holder as a person of interest. They reported him posting images on social media of young girls appearing deceased with sticks placed over their bodies. I know, it seems insane. Number one, why would you be doing this? Why would you be doing this in general, I guess, is the question. And if children recently died in this sort of a situation, and let's say you had those posted earlier, for whatever reason you may have something like that posted, why wouldn't you be taking that shit down pretty quick? Like, I don't want to look like I'm some monster. It's fucking weird. An ISP trooper named Winters reviewed the tips in Holder's social media and found what he described as concerning similarity between the murders and the content Holder was posting. Why? Because to a human being, there are concerning similarities there in, I think, most people's opinions. Winters found similarity between the stick formation on Abby's body and a bind rune that Holder had tattooed or drawn on his own hand. A combination of the Norse gibbo and Iso runes, which Holder himself described during an interview. Holder's social media also showed him holding guns and homemade knives. Winters recommended further investigation.
His superiors declined, claiming Holder's alibi had been cleared by the FBI. Winters pushed back and urged ISP to conduct its own independent investigation. No further action was actually taken, nor can we confirm that he was actually cleared by the FBI. Again, my opinion. In 2018, according to the defense's filings, Holder created and displayed a painting of Odin hanging upside down, right leg tucked behind the left. This is how Abby's body was positioned at the crime scene, according to the defense expert on ritualistic killings. The painting also featured a red few rune, the same symbol that, according to defense filings, appeared in blood on a tree near where the girls were found. Nothing to see here. Officers continued finding social media posts from Holder that, in their own words, mimicked the crime scene. And still nobody interviewed him again. Nobody collected the gun. Nobody searched the phone. Tips kept coming in, and the system kept marking them cleared. The fuck is going on here? Again, nothing illegal about doing any of those things. Creepy and weird. And look, there's people out there that mimic horrible scenes that had nothing to do with the actual crime. Could that be what's going on here? Maybe. I don't know the answer to that question. It is worth stepping back and asking, what would have happened if any one of these investigative steps had actually been taken, if the officers had reviewed the landfill surveillance video when it was offered, if the interview tape hadn't been erased, if someone had collected the .40 caliber weapon and tested it against the round found at the scene, if Westfall's alibi had been checked before 6 years had passed and his son's memory had faded, if anyone had followed up on the social media post or the trooper's recommendation, we will never know the answers to those questions because the investigation chose not to ask them. And that is a failure that belongs to the institutions, not to Richard Allen. And honestly, not to these other folks in question here who keep having their names drug into this. If an investigation had been done properly, maybe we could figure this out. Maybe we could truly, as a society, clear these folks. And criminally, they have been, well, cleared. I think not investigated is really more of the operative word, at least not to the extent that satisfies most people's opinions. Holder's associate, Patrick Westfall, had his own interview on February 19th of 2017. Westfall told officers he was a religious leader for local pagans. He wore a necklace representing his efforts to pledge the Vinlanders, a pagan social club. He told law enforcement he knew the woods where the girls were murdered very well. He reported knowing the girls. Law enforcement did not record that interview either. Only a 5-paragraph narrative survived. There's no indication in the record, according to the defense, that officers marked Westfall whether he owned a .40 caliber firearm. His phone was also not searched. His alibi that he was home with his minor son went completely unchecked for over 6 years. When Allen's defense team finally forced a re-examination of Westfall in August of 23, his son could not remember whether he was home with his dad that day. Westfall's phone was finally collected, but according to the defense filings, he deleted data before turning it over. Westfall has never been charged with any crime related to these murders. And here's where the stories begin to shift. Holder told police in 2017, that he never actually met Abby. In August of 23, when Allen's defense team pushed for a re-examination, Holder told law enforcement he met her once. In a 2024 deposition, he said twice, with at least one of those encounters occurring at Westfall's home shortly before the murders. According to the defense filings, a man who initially denied knowing the victim gradually admits to meeting her multiple times, including at the home of his pagan associate in the weeks before she was murdered. If that were the only inconsistency, it would be worth a hard look. Combine it with everything else, the destroyed tape, the uncollected gun, the unverified alibi, the social media posts, the paintings, the rune tattoo, it forms a pattern that any competent investigation would have pursued aggressively. And then there's the statement that should have really changed everything. In 2018, according to the defense filings, Holder told his wife he had a fight with Westfall because Westfall wanted to up from animal slaughter to a different kind of sacrifice. Then Holder allegedly told her that Westfall allegedly killed Abby with others, told her to keep her mouth shut about it, allegedly. That statement is in the court filings. It was presented to the trial court. The jury never heard it. The judge excluded it along with everything else about Holder and Westfall. You know, nothing to see here. And again, people can say shit to other people, but in this context, in this thing, it's fucking weird and horrible. What is going on here? These folks don't necessarily seem like high-ranking people that are being protected because of who they are. What I suspect is they are the gatekeepers to people that go far beyond them, that have far more power and a far greater interest in not having anyone look their way. Again, my opinion, my gut, and I'm not saying Holder and Westfall have anything to do with this. But when you just look at the facts and say them out loud, yeah, I know that whole using your brain thing gets tricky. But when all the authorities are sitting here telling you there's nothing there, it's called crazy making behavior. It makes the people that actually use their brain and question these things and go, what? You didn't do this. You didn't do that. You stopped the. And they look at you like, yeah, of course we did. We don't need to do that. No, you really do need to do that. No, we don't. It's gaslighting. It's crazy making behavior. It's when you shut people down who are questioning obvious things and telling them that they're, why would we do that? Ha! We're truth seekers, right? Go-getters. Who has time to cross T's and dot I's when you're out there getting them? By the time Richard Allen was charged in October of 2022, the investigation had lost or destroyed interviews with two of its most promising alternative suspects. It had refused to collect their weapons, refused to search their phones, declined to verify an alibi that later fell apart under basic deposition questions, and ignored years of tips and social media behavior that mirrored the crime scene, not because the evidence against these men was weak, but because nobody with the authority to act was willing to actually do the work. That's where my question comes in. Why? That's the foundation upon which Richard Allen's prosecution was built, not on the strength of a case against Allen, but on the wreckage of an investigation that should have looked elsewhere. Think about the totality of what the defense documented in the court filings. The suspect whose son was dating one of the victims, a .40 caliber weapon that matches the round found at the scene, never collected, an interview tape destroyed, an alibi verified by a badge swipe that officers refused to confirm was available, surveillance footage, social media posts depicting dead girls with sticks, Mark cleared, a trooper who raised the alarm and was told to stand down, a painting that mirrors the crime scene in specific documented ways, and a statement made to a wife that his associate killed one of the victims with others. Any one of those facts standing alone would justify a serious investigation. I've seen people be convicted on far less. Take Richard Allen, for example, convicted on far less. Taken together, they represent one of the most documented investigative failures in modern murder case history. And the jury heard none of it. That's your Delphi Police Department, protecting and serving. Abby and Libby deserved investigators who would follow the evidence where it led, even when it led somewhere uncomfortable. What they got instead was a system that stopped looking the moment looking got hard. And the man who paid for that failure was the one who came forward voluntarily and told the truth about being on the trail. More on that next. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue to work our way through this case. We'll continue our conversation there. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to chumbacasino.com.
Chumbacasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.